Leanne Hart is a mighty servant to God who wears many hats. Be sure to share this podcast, like it, and review it. Also follow Leanne Hart on all her social media platforms.
Hey everybody, this is Leanne Hart with Leanne Hart Ministries. And wow, this podcast today has definitely been prepared for. There's been a lot of preparation for what you're about to hear because we have been trying to get together for several weeks. And when I say we, I'm talking about a very dear friend of mine who pastors a church in Woodward, Oklahoma. You've been called, I've heard JP, I've heard John Paul. I'm like, where do you go from here?
I answer to all of those. my name is John Paul, and oftentimes, matter of fact, just last week, there's like, you know, I've known you for so long. What is your last name? Well, it's Paul.
It's Paul.
And since I've been to Woodward, somehow it got shortened to JP, and I answer to that.
That's so funny. JW, a lot of people think sometimes his name is short for John Wayne, but that's only on the bad days.
Oh,
it's John Wesley, you know. But you pastor Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward. And right now, currently, you guys actually pastor out of a sale barn, but it didn't start there for you. And you and your family started inside of your home a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. You know what? In the 90s, actually, I heard a pastor tell me I was going on the road quite a bit, showing cutting horses. And that pastor told me, he said, I can see you, John Paul, ministering to your people on the weekends. And when he said it, it resonated in me. I knew it was true, but it made no sense. And then along in 2000, I saw a man with a really unique personality ministering from a sale barn. Actually, it was in Quincy, Washington. And I watched him in his own unique personality bring the word, and in a moment, the Lord spoke to me that I wasn't called to be Billy Graham. I just had to do John Paul.
That's so good.
So from there, I started, and we were at a cutting, and I brought the word. I was nervous. It was rough. And then every time we were anywhere, if it was Sunday, showed up, we did church, and then it grew from there, and eventually started. First I did some internet Facebook stuff. I did some Facebook stuff for it was cool.
Have to go back through.
Yeah,
and watch
there's
some
3 to 6 minute teachings from back around 2009 and 10 and then in 14 a man he stopped me in the road, and he had cancer and he was battling it. And we had run cattle on him, and I'd ranched around there and where he was at. And he said, John Paul, my wife thinks I need to start going to church. And I said, well, I think that'd be a great idea. And this man was famous for being rough and kind of vulgar and really politically incorrect kind of guy. We all know that guy, you know.
Yeah.
So we're right there in the middle of the road, and He said that, and I was like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And he says, I've been to him, and I just can't get very interested in it. But if you'll start something, I'll come.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, man, if I do that, I got to be responsible for people.
You mean that somebody outside of a church was used by God to get you to get in?
Yes.
Wow.
Lost completely, but searching. And then he said the most amazing thing later at his funeral, when I did his funeral, his wife couldn't believe that he ever said this, but he did in the road that day. He pointed at some cows over there. He said, John Paul, you see them cows right there? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, you see them horses right there? I said, yes, sir, I see them too. He said, well, let me tell you, those horses and those cows, they can wait. But there's a lot of old boys like me out here in the brush. We can't wait.
Wow.
And later, about 3 months later, I baptized him, and he preached to us all that day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we started doing a Monday night service back then, and that was 2014. And he would stop me if he didn't understand. He would like, hold on. And we would go through it verse by verse scripturally till he could understand, and then I could go ahead and give the rest of the message. And
that sounds like my conversations over coffee with J.W. Hart in the mornings whenever he's asking, you mean they had a multitude of wives, or you're telling me that this is how this was working and back in the day? And I appreciate anybody that will say, I don't get it.
Me too. I think that, you know, there's a reason why it says we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free.
That's right.
And so transparency and truth are vital to our Christian walk. And we don't need to be avoiding truthful anything. And we need to get right to the truth of all subjects.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm one of the reasons why I'm tickled that you're here. We met just a couple of years ago because I got to come up there and hang out with some of the girls.
Yeah, you ministered to my ladies and you.
Who I love with all my heart. Like, we're sisters
for
sure.
They love you as well.
And, you know, this year we got to do something a little bit different. We got to hang out in a panel sort of setting and didn't really know what to expect. And the overflow from that was just really neat.
It was an amazing day at church. It was really amazing. That service was really incredible to me, because the plan that I had, you had asked me before we started what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got started, I realized I had it completely wrong. And I turned the whole service inside out in obedience, and it was incredible.
Well,
lives
that was
were changed that day.
The first time I had ever, I've done church in cell barns, you know, from time to time, or led services or worship or whatever. But to see a pastor and his team in the ring and like slaying devils and casting things out of people, and there was deliverance that day.
There absolutely was
baptisms that took place, there were testimonies that took place,
and you were singing the whole time. It was so amazing.
Yeah, it was just like we knew our position and that's what we were placed there for, and everyone knew their position that day. It was really neat to see the body come together in a fivefold in such a radical way that
the whole body, yes, and lives were changed. There's still the overflow from that, and we had an incredible week the week before that with another man, Bunk Skelton from Clarendon, Texas, and between those 2 weeks, our people hadn't been the same.
Yeah.
I mean, we've changed. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame can walk.
Wow.
The dead have rose from the grave. I'm telling you, it's been incredible.
That's pretty neat. I know that yesterday as I was going outside, and of course we live on this hill here, and it feels like 20 degrees colder than anywhere else because we don't have any trees and the wind is always blowing. And as I was taking layers off, I got hot, you know, and after throwing that hay, and I'm taking that jacket off, and the Lord was revealing that, you know, a lot of times we need to identify the layers and the coverings that aren't real. Like, they're not really good for us after a while. They might start out good, like that fellow on the road telling you, saying, listen, these cattle and these horses, they can wait, but I can't wait. And being able to identify that is so important. And your heart has been really, really captivated by so much that's going on in the world right now. And our first conversation that you and I had, do you remember it?
Yes, I do. I still have the email I sent you from that time.
Yeah, and that it was about abortion.
Yeah, it was.
It was about things that nobody really wants to talk about. And you know, the thing for me, like I've never personally had an abortion, but I feel compassion for those that have. There have been a lot of heart changes from that, you know, and a lot of just peace has washed over them once they've really read the truth and, you know, and just felt the love of Christ in that. And,
then those that have been rescued from it, you know, on the other side of it. And I know the email that I sent you back then was about, some nieces and nephews that I have.
Yeah.
I have a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law that have adopted 4 children. And part of those children were slated to be aborted.
Right.
And biracial children, and they are so amazing. They're intelligent. They're set apart from they're holy. They truly are holy, and they're as young teenagers and pre-teenagers, they're literally leading people to the Lord. I think how different, how the world would have missed out.
Yeah.
And who's to say, you know, the world says, and I've heard this so many times, is that you religious people, which I am not a very religious guy. No, I love the Lord. I am not religious.
You are not.
But they will say, you religious people are not, you're pro-life, you're pro-birth. As if, and I'm like, who are we to say which one of these children is going to, yes, some are going to have hard lives. I get that. But some of them are going to overcome. Some of them are going to be that next answer to that next called one that saves a multitude. Some of them is going to be the next one that invents the cure to cancer. Some of them is going to be the next president of the United States. Who knows?
That's right. That's right. You know, I, when people say, you know, hard life, I, we all can look back at our life and think, wow, that was hard, you know, from time to time. And then on the hardest day, we got through it. And we got our next breath.
Yes.
You know, and it's because we were given a choice to do that. And I've had, on the other end of it, I've had several friends of mine that have confessed that they've had abortions, you know, but they've realized that they made that choice and that they've come to a place of repentance and just felt this grace from the Lord. Like they thought they were going to get their hands burned on the stove or something, you know, and that's just not.
It's not our you know, Romans 8:28 stands.
Yeah.
And it's the driver for me personally, but it absolutely stands. He will use all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
And there's absolutely no condemnation in Jesus. And a lot of people don't really quite understand what that means. But whenever we're living holy or we're living in alignment with Christ, then there is no condemnation in Jesus. But it's like the Holy Spirit that helps us. Because he gives us that constructive love to say, hey, you might want to get back. You might want to go check your tires at the tire shop and get back in alignment because you're kind of.
Yes, he'll discipline you a little and call you back in. But at the same time, you know, in the first chapter of Colossians, it as you stand before him holy and blameless without a single fault.
Yeah.
And then in 20 verse, I think it's verse 23, it goes ahead, but you must continue to stand firm in it.
Yeah.
It's a fight.
And that is so, standing firm in it is like the key to so much because we don't want to, we want to love them. We want to love people in general and give mercy and give grace, but we can't do it to a point to where we get in that quicksand with them, you know, and we start to sink and it starts to get sticky and we have to stand our ground and stand on the truth and the word of God. And even this week, I mean, we kind of had a weird week. Wacy had done something. He didn't put a dog up and that dog got a hold of some goats and he had a massacre on Monday.
Yeah. And been because there, that seen
choice,
that.
You know, and I think that is so reflective out of James 4:17 is really where I was at. Like, but that's all of us. When we don't wash the dishes, we're going to wake up to a consequence and it might be minor like that for a minute. But then there are other choices that we choose and we wait on it and we wait on it and we wait on it and we wait on it. And we're like, oh, we just keep putting it off. And then before you know it, that's where we start to really feel that shame. And it's because we've really partnered up with our own mindset more than renewing our minds with the mind
of Christ. Exactly right. We get to a place where we compromise with the sin rather than be holy and above it, knowing that we're righteous, knowing that there's no condemnation in him. However, we can live in a condemned way, and we can live in such a way that brings separation between us and the Lord, which is also the devil's strategic plan.
Absolutely.
He wants us to defile the temple to a place that we're not letting the Lord into it.
Yeah, and we give the devil so much credit so often because we're like, oh, he causes me to do this. But whenever we have Christ alive in us, whenever we have the Holy Spirit and we just choose to not, you know, get right, or we choose to continue to not edify kingdom with our words or our actions and different things like that, it is so... We can't really give that guy the credit.
No, flesh is pretty powerful.
It is so powerful. Yes. We've lived with it for, you know, since we've been here.
Yes, it's a struggle. It's a lifelong struggle for us all.
Well, there's a lot of struggles going on in the world right now. And I really want to dive into that because I think that these are going to be the things that are going to create maybe some constructive and creative conversations for people that they need to hear.
I, yeah. You know, I drove 4 hours down here so that they could, so that to, for another platform that people could hear. And we're going to talk about, we're fixing to talk about something that, that nobody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about parts of it, but they're not talking about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And this is a delicate subject, but it's an important subject. And we're fixing to dive off into the vaccine deal here.
I say dive.
So
I say go.
So as we've beat around the bush getting here, but you know, I was bothered by it from the get go because I didn't understand, and so I have a good friend that is he's got a bachelor's in science, and so I asked him, and I actually had him speak at church, and of course it caused a little turmoil when I did, but he dove off in there and he explained some things to me, and he explained that they were using human cells to develop this vaccine. But I couldn't prove it. I could hear what he was telling me, but I couldn't get to a place where I could say absolutely definitively that I understood in my cowboy way and that I could prove it. And then one day, a pastor friend of mine calls me, and he says, John Paul, I got this mentor in my life. He's been like an elder to me, and he's also a doctor, and he's telling me that the Pfizer vaccine is working pretty good, and he thinks I should get it. What say you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, man, why are you even asking me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I'm asking you because I know you've done more research than anybody I know,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to tell me what you think. And so I answered him that day. And I told him, I said, I have been told that there's a problem with us, that if we're coming from as God's people, we're coming from a place of 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, mm-hmm. don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And so who says the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God, you do not belong to yourself. And there's others in 1 Peter 2. It talks about us being that same temple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling him, I believe there's a problem here with the origination, however you're supposed to say that, of where this is coming from for me in my temple. He said, can you prove it? I said, no, but give me a few days and let me work on it again. Been a little while since I've worked on it. Let me work on it again. And in a couple of days, I will be able to tell you definitively and undisputably
mm-hmm.
what I think. And so I am, we're working horses at home. It's me and my daughter and another young man, and we're working horses, and I'd work a horse, and I would be searching and scrolling and Googling and trying to get a handle on this thing. And finally, after several hours of this, my daughter says to me, she said, Dad, the answers you're looking for are in the name of the vaccine. I'm like, what? I'm just a cowboy. You got to keep talking. She's like, well, it's mRNA vaccine. She says, RNA comes from a single strand of DNA. We cannot invent, though we can replicate, we can clone, we can reproduce things that come from cells. We cannot invent a cell. There has to be a human being to start this process.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I think she's onto something, and she was.
Yeah.
So I look it up, sure enough. The Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines are both mRNA vaccines. Still a little confusing, but when you look up RNA, anybody that's listening, look up RNA, it'll describe to you what it is. It's a single line from DNA.
Mm-hmm.
DNA actually is all the information that it takes to make a human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human cell and stored inside of there is information that can be strung from here to the moon and back. I don't know how many times. I think 4 is what I've heard. But what I do know is that all the information it takes to make a human being is in DNA. backtrack the story a little bit. So I know, so now I know that two of them are mRNA and where they come from. The third one, which was the Johnson & Johnson, J&J, I was kind of confused and I looked it up and it's a viral vector vaccine. And I didn't understand what that meant. And so I started researching that to understand what that meant and where it come from. And at first it sounded, you know, us from the horse and cattle industry, we've been given vaccines forever. Right. And so we kind of got a handle on you take a virus and you get it in such a state that you inject it into the animal and it gives them a light dose of the disease and their immune system triggers and they can get over it. We've made vaccines like that forever. And when you start reading about viral vector vaccine, it sounds a little like that at first. Mm-hmm. But somewhere from my friend that with a bachelor's of science, I was remembering that he had told me that vaccine, the J&J, was started from a retinal cell. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, there's got to be more to it. And so I'm searching and I'm searching and I'm searching. And then I find the smoking gun, as you are. I found what I was looking for, to where I could talk about it and I could teach it. I could understand it and I could also teach it. And so what I discovered was, as I was reading about viral vector vaccines, it starts saying is that a viral vector vaccine is very similar to an mRNA vaccine with a few differences. And the differences is that it's developed from DNA instead of RNA. But all these vaccines are using genetic material.
Human embryonic.
Yes.
Like kidney cells.
Yes. Stuff. So, yes. And so as I searched further, the cells both come from babies that were aborted in the Netherlands, one in 73 and one in 85. The RNA comes from a kidney cell. That kidney cell's name is actually HEK293. Look it up.
I've got it right here in front of me. I didn't tell you. I did my own research.
Oh, good. Good for you. I'm so glad. And the retinal cell is PERC6.
Yep.
In 1985, both of those babies, they say from an elective abortion. So that baby chose to be slaughtered, I'm assuming. I mean, that's the only way that could work. Tongue in cheek, I know,
yeah.
but it's ridiculous to even put those words together,
right?
In my mind, but at any rate, I just wanted to put this information out there that nobody's talking about this,
yeah.
And many people that are really close to me have been on all sides of this,
yeah.
And there's no condemnation with me. Right. I just want them to know the truth.
Sure.
If for me it's a sin, for somebody else it might be. You know, if we go to Romans 14, it don't take but a second to everybody's got to find their own way through this.
Well, you read 1 Corinthians first, so what do you think that Paul was saying when he said that our bodies actually belong to God?
I think that this is built for God, for His use, for the purpose of glorifying Him. And then we're to do honorable things with it for the purpose of advancing the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. And whenever you were saying and you were talking about the actual vaccine and how it contains the HEK293 human embryonic kidney cell lines and the PERC.
Yeah, and that's the word that they'll
retinal lines.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
It'll be a cell line. So they're duplicating or cloning that cell
right.
over and over and over again, thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of times. For me personally, it don't make any difference. You're still putting human. It still comes from a slaughtered child that you're putting in your body. Human RNA, human DNA. Mm-hmm. That's something that we got to at least discuss.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, as humans, we have been gifted by God to make choices. You know, that's free will.
Yes.
And one of the things that JW and I have talked about a little bit in when all of this kind of started and we heard the word mandate come out was that the word mandate basically being used in a sentence with the COVID vaccines is really a thief to our personal expression with our religious freedom as Christians, as well as Americans, because it just goes against our faith as far as, and to him, it bothered him more even about that it was mandated, because it was like, whoa, stop right there. You know, now you're saying we don't have a choice. Wait, we serve a God that says we do have a choice, and we live in a country that says we do.
Based upon God-given freedoms.
Right.
Yes, yes.
And so you're wanting to suck back the air from that gift that was given by our founders years ago, you know?
Yeah, the transformation is the powers that be are trying to alter it, that our freedoms are given to us by government, which is not true. Our freedoms are God-given.
That's right.
And this country was founded on that truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And a mandate encourages fear. It encourages fear, where we're being pushed into this decision. And, you know, thinking about Jesus is our choice to choose him is an invitation. And fear, as a Christian, we don't believe that God gives us fear. Mm. But power, love, and sound mind. And he gives us a sound mind. And I even, to the part to where I was like really diving into this, because people that are in my life, people that I love, very close to me.
Me too. I have
had the vaccine, you
me,
know?
Me
and,
too.
And to be, but the coolest part is that we've actually been able to conversate about it. And I even told him, I said, it has been confirmed that the basis of the different vaccine cell lines were formed by those tissues, like what you're talking about, from those aborted babies. And it's not a new finding that we as Christians are against that, against abortion. When I talk to people about voting, and people say, oh my gosh, the Bible and politics shouldn't be together. The Bible and politics have always run hand in hand. You know why? And the coolest part about this is we should probably reiterate the foundation for just a minute, is that there's always been a split and a separation of people. But people have always wanted to be governed by somebody, because it's always easier to have the head tell the tail what to do.
You know, that's right.
You know,
that's right. And, you know, you're in the time that God's people got King Saul. That's
right.
Exactly. That's like
we've got.
We need a king like all these other countries.
We started out with prophets. Yeah. Oh, that wasn't good enough. Yeah. Now we've got judges. That's not good enough. Let's go to kings now.
Wouldn't you just get like?
Who chose this guy? You know.
Yes, and
the thing about it is even with King Saul, the moment that he turned away from God and he made a choice to let a bloodline, which is kind of wild, live, it caused so much chaos, because we try to still be God today, and instead of letting God be God, and it goes back to the foundational root of even in the garden. This tree is good, and this one, not so much.
Yes, yes, and we can't see the big picture how it goes down the road, but we can get a glimpse of it, and that's what, you know, here, if we don't bring the truth to subjects like this, that can't end well. To live in ignorance or lack of knowledge,
that's right.
For the lack of knowledge, my people perish.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, you're so brave and you're my friend. And so we're here with our necks hung out, not with the purpose of insulting anybody.
No.
But with just to bring some fact.
Right.
Undisputable fact.
Yeah.
And so that everybody has good information to process where they fit in this thing.
Yeah. Well, we grow as Christians once we get into that relationship with the Father after we were, you know, we say yes and we receive salvation. It's like daily that we're walking with him. And we grow in the knowledge that our bodies, as you talked about, though our bodies are not our own, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's growing in the knowledge daily that we've been made in the very image of God, and that we've been given the mental capabilities, even even as our creator. Why? Because it tells us in scripture, not that we have all the knowledge and all the stuff, but we have the ability to say, I might need to throw this down and renew my mind with the very mind of Christ right now. And it's so important for us to do that. It's actually a sin in Romans 8. It talks about if we don't renew our minds, then we're out of alignment in our minds. And our minds are going to get us running off the track. That's why it's important to say, I'm going to humble myself. I pray for I may not be right here.
Some of this is scary. Yeah. You know, I mean, and if we let it, if we go down that road of, especially if we're immunocompromised or this or that, you know, it is. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I went through it, I got to COVID I was one of the first people I knew that got it. I hug every neck that I see, and I always have. And so I did, and it was a little frightening at first.
Yeah.
It also led me down a path of discovery and absolute freedom.
Sure.
Some people's journey is different.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, it is by our faith that we're healed.
Yeah.
And you know, I have a real problem. I personally have a problem if your religious leader or your pastor, your spiritual leader is telling you that if Christ was here today, he would embrace the vaccine. First of all, that's not a direction he ever went in. It was by your faith that you were healed.
Yeah. He was the vaccine. He is the vaccine. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
He's the antivirus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he is still overcoming mighty things.
Yeah.
Some, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get to go through it, and some are rescued from it, and his purpose will be done.
Wow. You know, our faith leads us to believe that we have the ability to decide for ourselves and freedom to do so. That's where we're led as Christians, that, you know, and not every Christian wears their covering well. I'm saying that out of, I've thought about that as I took that jacket off yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, golly, there's been so many times where I have not identified that I need to take that off. And to be able to have a conversation. Jesus was able to have conversations with the Pharisees. He was able to have conversation with the hard people that were totally not going to come into alignment with him, that put him on the cross, and he still loved them and said, okay, all right. You know, I'm going to lay this foundation of truth here because I believe that Jesus is truth. I believe the word of God is truth. And for me, that's been a hard break sometimes. Why? Because I'm a woman who has had 13 babies go to heaven, and I have heard many people tell me over and over and over, I've heard it said I'm barren, and I'm like, no, God said I'm fertile myrtle in the spirit. I've got Jesus living inside of me. I got something to give. I'm not going to live like that victim mentality, because I am not living with that old mindset, and that's taken me a long time to get here. It has taken me such a long time to get here.
And you had to go at it purposefully. You had to make up your mind that you're going to follow Jesus. You're going to walk in his truths.
Yeah.
And as he transforms you, you can start accepting those
things.
And
crushing our flesh is not going to feel good. When you are walking in that and saying, especially when there's disappointment or something is happening, you had COVID. I personally not have COVID. Had it. And I don't have a problem saying JW has not had it. No one in our family has had it. And
that's amazing.
I mean, we've been around it. And when we've been around it, we've been smart. We've done what we've been told to do by people that are way smarter than us on that. Go, you know, take your vitamins or take this or take that. And we've done these things. But we've traveled the country and we have not had it. And I'm not going to walk around in fear of that. Why? Because I just came out of a season of fear and for 3.5 years in adoption with my children. And I had to mourn kids that I thought were not going to be here. So that's a whole different level of, for me, of grieving. And so we've went through so many things where I felt like that I was being crushed. But my spirit was never crushed. It was my flesh. Yeah. Because I had to come into alignment with, even when it wasn't good, God was doing something good.
And yes, you know, we do. We have to get to this place of humility to the place that we truly trust Him to empower us, that He'll be our sustenance, and then we're empowered at a level that we never could have been before. Right. It's really an amazing process.
It sure is.
And it's so, you know, as we talk about this, we had talked about it before, and so everybody fits in this different, and if you're listening, and read Romans 14. Everybody's got to find a place that they what they believe and how the Lord convicts them. For me personally, to go down this road of the vaccine would be a sin, and I know it would be.
And I love that you say that for you personally, because that doesn't put everyone in the same category there.
It isn't. I can't drink either. Somebody else could.
Yeah.
I'm just not that guy.
I can't drink. I can't do this. Yeah. But you look like you're enjoying life.
Every bit of it. matter of fact, you know, when the Lord really convicted me, I used to drink a little. I used to drink a lot. But when He convicted me on it, if I could have come up with one thing that my life was better if I'd have stayed hooked, I would have. But the freedom of it all has been amazing.
So, I opened up to Romans 14 as you were talking, and it's got titles, you know, for every section at this NLT Bible that I've got here. And it says, a plea for unity. Do not condemn one another. And do not cause your brothers or sisters to stumble. Yeah. And here we are, and we're laying the truth out of what we've found and the findings that we've found.
This is just the facts.
Yeah, this is
undisputable facts.
As a matter of fact, just to let you know, this, I was reading parts and bits and pieces out of a religious exempt that I've actually written, and it's actually wasn't rejected. So whoever read this, and this was for somebody way higher than me in Colorado, because I sent it for someone that goes to church with us at the ABBI events, the American Buck and Bull Incorporated events. She could not get her actual pastor to write her a letter because he didn't want anything to fall down on them. And so she reached out, and
I'm going to tell you that we've been filling them out left and right for
our church does too. Yep. Victory, you know, and
for other people's and they stay in their other church, and we're not calling them out of that, but we'll help.
Yeah. And this was, it was approved. I actually wrote it to a healthcare company that was one of the top two, I believe, in Colorado. And so I did this because she didn't have another way to do it, because they didn't want, it was just too closely connected, however that may have been. Well, for me, I mean, we just do life together on the road with these Buck and Bulls from time to time. And so you're in relationship with people. And so, yes, I'll do it. Sure. Because I believe it, you know, and because for me,
if you didn't believe it, that'd be different.
If I did not believe it, it would be different. And however they've fallen, and she got to keep her job and it was accepted. And I know there's a lot of people out there, things have been rejected, you know, and I guess when I was writing this, it was one of those deals where when I was asked to do it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm qualified to do that. And then the Lord was like, wait, I'll qualify you to do it. And so a lot of times, and I use this statement a lot, if it's on your heart, it's on God's heart. And I believe that right now the things that are on a lot of people's hearts, it's on God's heart, but they're not talking to the Lord about it. They're going to seek somebody else about it, instead of going to see what His Word actually says. And we hear the voice of the Lord a lot of times whenever we get into the Word. Sometimes people just want to close the book because it gets a little too close for comfort.
Yes, it makes you uncomfortable. Absolutely. And there's conviction, and you see it all the time. In all of us, you know, I've there's questions that we don't ask Him sometimes because we're afraid of the answer.
Yeah.
And it takes some courage to step off in there. And it's so crazy when we finally embrace those things, the freedom that comes to us. But we still, in our humanness, we battle it. And there's times we don't ask Him. We don't want to know the whole truth.
Yeah. There was a long time where JW, when we walked through the season, and I say season because it was like, I could say seasons, but it felt like one long season whenever we were really being stretched in our marriage, when we were praying for a child. That we couldn't pray together, and I didn't think JW was praying, and we got to fight about praying one time, and he said, I pray in my own way, and I was like, well, I want you to pray with me, you know, because we weren't coming together in unity like we were called to do, and I needed to hear some hard things that he needed to say, because he's a pretty wise guy when he, you know, and when we turn it over to the Lord and we hear what's on another's heart. And so, you know, a lot of times I believe that whenever there's this barrier for people, a lot of times that when it's talking about hard things that really are affecting choices or judgment or their health issues or different things, we're going into a season of fasting right now at our church. And
oh, that's awesome.
He encouraged people last night. He said, hey, this may not be for every one of you, but here I'm going to give you the fasting 101. Uh-huh. And I love like that it's the choices that we have. Get personal with the Lord. Speak to him about that. See what he says about it. Let him get rooted in you so that you're rooted in something that is firm.
And yet, you know, it's as you're talking, there's so many things I'm reminded of. But one of them, when I first come to Thousand Hills Ranch Church, that church had been through some trouble.
Sure.
And the people there were wounded. That had stayed, and the people that had left were wounded.
Yeah.
What was really interesting, though, to me, is I discovered as we were there for just a little bit, that the living God had called one to stay and one to leave. Mm-hmm. And if it had been any different, and that story takes a while to tell, but if it had been any different, things would be different today. But for him to put all the pieces into play that would happen to where the life would be happening that's happening today. Years ago, he called one to leave and one to stay. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know it could work. It was a new thing for me at the time. I didn't even know it could work like that.
Wow.
You would think that, and then it starts making sense. Like we'd all be called to the same Bible study if it was different or the
right.
same, but we all have a season and a purpose and a commission, and so we're fixing to go into different settings.
Yeah, and we have to be willing to release people as well to serve in the purpose that God created them for.
And quit fitting it into our human box.
Like I'm a goer, you know that. I mean, uh-huh. I'm very thankful that I serve at a church that is so precious to me that they're like, I come in and I get to dip in and I serve and then they send me back out. I don't know if it's because they've had enough of me and they're like, she got to go for a minute.
She
got
to go have to help somebody else.
But yeah. Exactly. But you know what? It's such a great support system to have. It's such a great support source. It's not even a system because we weren't born into a system and we're not going to die in a system if we're following Jesus.
The fivefold ministry that's spoken of in Ephesians, you know, there's all the different parts and pieces. And I was thinking if you didn't go out, you would be stale within. But because you do go out and you, that apostolistic nature that you have of changing the atmosphere here and there, and then when you come back in, you're all fired up, and you change it some more at home, and then you go back out and
that's right.
Leastways, that's my interpretation.
You've got such a story to tell that has come out of the vaccines. I was like, no, you got to tell that story because it's pretty powerful.
I think it was incredible, and so not very long ago, there was a young woman. Actually, her mom came to me and said, my daughter and my son want to get baptized. Will you come to our home and meet with us? And so I did. And we had dinner that night. And as we're going through it, I'm walking through baptism the things that it means and the things that it doesn't mean. And we were diving into that pretty deeply. And I feel led towards bringing up the subject of the vaccine. And with this daughter, when I did, the whole family, we're sitting around the kitchen table just like we are right now. And when I brought up that subject, the whole family steps back from the table, big eyes. They're like, oh man,
you opened the can of worms.
Yes. You stepped in it now. So I'm like, no, we can talk about this. We're all family. We're all on the process of serving the Lord, we can talk about this.
Yeah.
And so me and this young woman start talking about it, and she starts telling me her story. And it was different than her family thought because she had been on all sides of it, but her family was very conservative and had most of their family goes to church with me, so they've been hearing me talk about this for a while, and they'd done their own studying, and they'd come up to with what they believed and what was right for them. This young lady was working in the medical field in another town, and there was a lot of pressure on her if she cared about it was sold to her, if you care about your elderly family members and others out there in the community, you need to do this. You need to put this in your body. And she said, it sounds right. And it sounded so right that she started trying to convince her family that had been concerned about this, that this was the right thing to do.
Wow.
And that she starts telling me this story. She said, so I was there and they put it in my arm. And she said, I instantly wanted to throw up. I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong for me. But now, and she's weeping now as she's talking, and the family was in awe that this conversation was happening. Mm. They didn't know. Wow. But now she's very emotional, and she says, so now it's in my body, and I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do, I think, is what she actually said. And I told her, I said, so how old are you? She says, I'm 23. I said, well, let me tell you, you're 23 years old. This is not the first thing you've put in your body that you shouldn't have.
I can identify with that.
Me too. That's how I knew I was speaking the truth.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And of course, she was big-eyed, and that kind of shocked her a little bit. But the truth of it, she's like, yes, that's true.
Sure.
So I said, so we do what we always have done. When we get to this place, and we know we've done something that is wrong for us and our relationship with the Lord. Again, I'm not saying this is everybody's story. This was her story and my story. But we repent. We take our mind from ourselves to Him, and we start standing on His promises. And then I led her to Mark 16. And at the end of Mark 16, it talks about this very thing.
Yeah.
In 16:16 is where I like to start. It says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And so that, you know, I always like to, so that believing, it's really hard to sell a case that you believe in the Lord if you look like the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're, as you believe, your life's being transformed, you start doing holier things.
Sure.
It's a lot easier to sell that. Then verse 17, it says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name.
That's right.
And they will speak in new languages. Mm-hmm. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. These snakes are not the physical kind. I don't believe in this. These are spiritual snakes. These are things that are set up to harm you. Things that purposefully hate you and want to harm you.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to handle them. They will be His people. They will be us, His people. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And it says, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And then I shared with her, I says, this doesn't qualify how you drank the poison. It doesn't say that because you didn't know. It doesn't say that you made a fleshly decision, did it on purpose. It doesn't say because you pridefully did it. It doesn't say because it tricked you. It doesn't say. It just says they will be, if they drink poison, it won't hurt them. I said, so this verse is for you. You stand on the truth of this verse and claim this promise as His creation. This I'm above that poison.
That's right.
If it's poison to you, you're above it. It goes on to say, and they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Mm-hmm. I love to finish there because it never says might be, should be, could be, ought to be. They will be. And healing looks all kinds of different ways. So even if there's a moment of doubt, you know, there is a overcoming as well, and there's freedom.
Yeah. Well, I am tickled to death that you got to come down here today. I know that it was a little bit of a drive and it's taken a little time to get here, and I pray that,
like, a month and a half, I think.
Yeah. It's been a minute to get here for sure, because we were having issues getting this one cut. But I will say that you know, as you were speaking and as you were talking about her and the compassion that you were able to give to her and the truth that was able to set her free and she was able to believe, that was a heart issue. I just don't doubt it one bit, you know, with her. Her heart was in the right spot. Sometimes we just get headstrong in other places and we do get pushed into a corner, but God can still, if he can still protect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fire,
yes,
without it being, without
the
it touching
God,
them.
Same God, same power.
And when we, one closing thing here that I thought about too, when we talked about the embryonic cells, the cells that come from babies, for just a minute there, I've never thought of it like this until you were talking, and I just thought about how we don't really think about the cost of these vaccines, and we don't think about the cost that someone gave a life for this, but that's not the true vaccine. We're putting it in the wrong position, that Jesus gave his life for us. And there's a whole different discussion that can probably go from that.
That's amazing.
I have to think about the what it's taken to give people a cure when Jesus is the cure. And he's already paid the price. Like, we cannot outpay that. And that's something that the enemy wants to continue to place inside the minds and hearts of people that, you know, that if we looked at it maybe just from a little bit different perspective, God said, I've already done it. I don't have to defeat the devil anymore. And
the
cost of these, of what, you know, some choices are being made. And there's a lot of people out there that don't care if they have an abortion. They're ranting and raving in there, and it's pure evil. But hey, at the end of days, and that's where we are. I believe we are at the end of the end. Like, we're somewhere in there because we're seeing so much come to life. But, or so much manipulation surface and counterfeit surface and so many lies that are being pushed as truth. And if we keep following the patterns and the cycles of these people that are maybe sitting in the hot box at the moment on the top of our government, it's really not that hard to see the difference between the lies and the truth.
Question, do they have my health as their best interest?
Yeah.
It would be really hard to build a case for that. If that was true, then they would be very forthcoming on all the information. This is how we made it, but we justify it this way, blah, 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 so that you can make your best health decisions and what's right for you. Our spiritual health is more important than our physical health anyhow, which is also hard to get our mind around. But the truth, you know, I was thinking just...
The world wants us to be desensitized to the cost here.
Yes, we
do. Like, don't worry about the cost. It was just a baby that didn't probably barely carry breath.
Look at the greater good. I've heard that. Look at the greater good. That one baby could save thousands of lives. Wait a minute. This one, Jesus, he saved everybody. And it's so interesting when they dug through the roof and they laid their friend at his feet.
Yeah.
The first thing he told him is, so by your faith, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And he didn't even get to the health thing.
Right.
And so our, to be in a sin-free area with our Lord trumps everything else. And then let's deal with our physical.
So you're basically saying this whole thing, you're just basically saying, I still believe Jesus.
Yes, he has gone 100%.
And that's your encouragement for people to say, hey, just question who you're putting your faith in. Are you putting your faith more in a source or in a system?
Amen. The living God, he is the same yesterday. Yes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord thy God. I do not change.
Right, yeah.
And he hasn't, and he won't.
And I think we're living in awesome times. I know that this is weird for everybody,
this
is like we're getting, like we read about the Bible and the things that have already been accomplished, but what opportunity we have as Christians to stand on our purpose and to stand on the truth right now and be the ones that our generations hear about that say, hey, somebody stood for me. Somebody stood, therefore I can still stand because they still believe the word of God was the truth.
We are created for just this season. You know, this is the last 2 years has been the most amazing time of my whole life in so many ways because I realized the battle that I was created for.
There you go.
I'm that guy that's called to go ahead and tell the truth when it ain't that popular.
Yeah.
Not because I want to offend anybody, but because I want them to know the truth.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for coming down here.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. And, you know, you're such a blessing, too. to my bunch up there in Woodward, Oklahoma, and,
well,
and they have been really motivated because of what you do there, and I just want I just want everybody to know what you do is incredible.
Well, I just appreciate a place that says, "Hey, come here, and let's shift the atmosphere. Let's do something different. Let's not focus on the waves. Let's not focus on the wind. Let's just focus on Jesus and be different, and be the weirdos, and be the ones that are believing that we were called to walk on water. And even if we're getting pulled down in it, we're surrounding ourselves with people that are going to give us a leg up."
Amen. Yep, let's do that.
Yeah. So anyway, we thank y'all for listening. John Paul, you want to tell them maybe just as a last, how can they get in touch with you if they want to?
You know,
Sheila?
Sheila is my go-to, my secretary, Sheila. She's the go-to, go-between. She fields all the calls. So Thousand Hills Ranch Church, Woodward, Oklahoma. We meet on the sale barn on Sunday at 10 and various other times through the week. We have Bible studies all week off and on. And 20-somethings, I always tell you about that, is really a powerful ministry that we have going on now. And our teenagers are doing great. And it's good.
All right.
The barn will be full, and we got a spot for you. So just show up.
There you go. All right, guys. We'll see you later. Thanks for hanging out with us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. And if you have any questions about the podcast or questions for Leanne, please check out her website at leannhartministries.com. That's L-E-A-N-N-H-A-R-T ministries.com. If you'd like to book Leanne, you can do that for your services or event, and you can go to bookings on leannhartministries.com. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with Leanne, you can do that by reaching out on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, as well as leannhartministries.com.